Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd. Today is part two of our interview with Tamara Madeline. Part one, we looked at her first two albums, her self-titled album, as well as her second album, Feeling Pretty. Today is all about her third album, Mint Green Mercury. We're going to get into detail about the studio she used, photography, all the different people that have helped her along the way to get to this point. We're going to hear a great deal of the album and a little bit of family history and a little bit of COVID-19, how she's able to still record and write. So let's meet up with Tamara Madeline. You used B-Town Sound in Burlington for this newer album. Can you tell me about them?
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
They're a husband and wife team, which is what I really love. I like that. I love the female energy. And so Robin Paul is the studio manager. That's who I met first. And she invited me in to meet Justin Cooper, husband, who actually is the studio engineer and owner of B-Town Sound. He's amazing. He's brilliant as a producer. And we jived. We went in
just
for a meeting, and he liked what I had to do. So that's the rest is history.
Can you tell me how long the process is? Again, I've never made my own album, but how long would it take from that first meeting till when you're actually pressing these CDs?
I think it really depends on you as the artist. So yeah. I don't like to rush the process myself because it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
And I'm not rushing to take it to market because I am my own market. So I really act independently as my own label. And I have to cover off all the elements from inception to completion. So I took my time with this record because I knew that I wanted to put out a quality record, and I wanted to spend an appropriate amount of money on it and not cheap out. So, and spend really good money on quality players that did my vision. So it took me 2 years, but yeah. I was averaging about 16 hours of studio time per month. And I would sit down in like 4 hour sessions. Cause at about the 4 hour mark, I saturate and I lose my creativity.
Yeah. I went through your label notes on your album, and it's great. Like, you had upright bass, a guy playing Hammond and Rhodes pianos, a pedal steel, which I had a real soft spot for pedal steel myself. And you had some horns and trumpets and sax. Like, that's fantastic what you did. Like, you just didn't stick with guitar, bass, drums, you know, expanded out.
I hear it all in my head beforehand. Yeah. So, and then I've never taken formal music theory. It's all self-taught. So I hear the rhythm, I hear the melody, and the way I translate it is I literally sing those horn notes to the producer and to the guys in the booth actually playing the horns. And then I will always bring in references. Like, I'm like, I want it to sound like this. So I'll bring in two or three examples of other musicians, how they've produced it, how they've done the instrumental approach. And then we use that sort of as a benchmark when we go into producing my work.
Good for you. No, at least you can express what you want to hear, and you're happy with the result. That's fantastic.
I also have very patient, amazing, talented producers that I work with, because if you're not patient with an artist, I believe you're not going to get the best out of them.
And the other thing I liked about your album is the artwork. Like, you took your time to do a good job on all your artwork.
Yeah, I mean, what I did with this record, which is what I didn't do with the last two, is that I understood the power of promoting and marketing. I mean, like, music is just like any other, it's a product, and you have to build a brand around it. So if you don't get the marketing piece and the promo piece in step and in parallel, your product's going to fall away. So I did it backward. I got all the branding done ahead of time because I already had two records. So I got those up on Spotify. I got a whole bunch of pictures taken and did a bit of branding so that when I was shopping for a music producer for my demos, they looked at my stuff and said, oh, this is a serious person. Like, they've spent some money in trying to create an image and they know what they want. So I work with a wonderful, wonderful graphic designer named Janine Stoll, and Janine Stoll Media, and she's basically created my brand with me since the beginning in 2015, and I'm going to stick with her because now it's, you know, when you work long enough with someone who's also creative, they start to tap into what you want before you even can tell them. Again, right?
Why don't we listen to a few of your songs? So you pointed out a song called Cosmic Fail. Do you want to maybe talk about that one? That sounds like another deep one just from the title.
Yeah, well, that's about me kind of, like every time that I would say I'm going to put out this record, it took me 10 years to get back in the studio, right? You know, because artists are great at self-sabotage. So I would talk myself out of it. You know, I would talk myself out. I would have like a million reasons why I wasn't going to do it or I couldn't do it. And that's what Cosmic Fail is about, just getting over that narrative, that negative narrative. Because really you need that to push yourself, because to put out a record is a tremendous amount of work. And you're going to have a lot of lows. You're going to have more lows than you do highs. And you've got to be committed to it. You've got to be committed to it all the way through. And I knew that. I knew what I was going to be taking on was a massive endeavor. And I probably talked myself out of it a million times. But then I got to my breaking point. And I just said, enough, enough, enough of this. Yep. Like, if I can spend this much time talking myself out of it, what can I accomplish if I just go ahead and do it?
Oh, yeah. And once you start, you're it's almost like a snowball effect where you just, once you kicked in and you start network with different people, it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, it's like a spark to a flame. It's almost like switching that conscious narrative in your mind now, or putting the energies towards doing rather than talking yourself out of it.
Yeah, good for you.
Finally
Headlong is kind of like my ode to music, and whenever stuff gets tough, and that's my go-to is my writing, and that's what Headlong's about, is like when I need that rescue, my means to an end, my everything, it's I turn to music, because I can do a session even just in my alone by myself for 15 or 20 minutes and just write out, feel out with the music whatever I'm emoting, and I feel like instantly better. I feel instantly more whole as a person.
One thing I noticed about your album is you had, I think, a whole page of just thank yous. If you, obviously, you know, it took quite a while, like you said, 10 years to make this album. And then you were, was it 2 years in the studio? So there was a lot of people probably that were helping you along in this whole road. And you have a whole page of gratitude and thank yous to people. Do you want to just maybe mention a few of the highlights there?
Yeah, let me just go grab the Mint Green Mercury album so that I don't forget names.
Oh, there's quite a few. But it's fantastic. Obviously, you reached out to a lot of, whether it's family and friends, and then other music people to, you know, help get this completed.
Yeah, and you know, the list keeps growing. I want to thank you as well. So every time that somebody comes out and supports what I'm doing, you become part of that community of people that are getting behind this record, because this record isn't about me. It's about everybody who's touched it, and it keeps snowballing. So basically from, you know, all the people that I've ever played music with, they're still part of my life. Like that's, for me, relationships in music are lifelong, because they enrich my life. So, and I hope back at them, right? Because that's the power of what being creatives do and being part of an artistic community. But I mean, I'm trying to thank everyone from my early inception, like Mary Orisi, which is a very good friend of mine from Brantford and has been like a solid musical friend my whole life, who introduced me then to Fraser Yates. And that's kind of where I got my start in Brantford. And so I tried to incorporate all those friends in the music world all the way through to today, like photographers and videographers. I work with great promo people. Like I have Andrea Morris from AM to FM Promotions. And then my publicist is Diane Foy. I've worked with great photographers like Andrea Hunter now in Hamilton. She's done a lot of my visuals. Janine Stoll Media, who does all of my graphic design. All the musicians who have played on this album. There's too many to name. They're just all amazing. The studio producers, I've worked with great videographers too now, like Afterlight Films, Michael Penny out of Hamilton, and a wonderful videographer that I met most recently. She's back in France now. Her name is Morgan Brainstead, and she's done a lot of my work recently. She was on a work visa, and she was just a young student videographer. And you know, because you're a starving artist and everything's out of your own pocket, because I haven't actually qualified for funding yet. I have a budget, and so I work with other people that too are getting their start. They need to amplify their profile artistically, so we work to help each other.
All right, here's the 8th track off the Mint Green Mercury album. It's called Fuel to Fire.
A supervillain of the Hola, este es Alejandro Ramírez de Bogotá, Colombia. Usted está escuchando 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo. Saludos.
Are you getting a little bit of airplay on other independent stations and across Canada? Or?
Yeah, mostly college, campus. I've had great support from you guys, so I want to thank you guys so much. Oh, I want to really give a big shout out to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, because you guys have been supporting me since the beginning, and I can't tell you how much we really appreciate that as independent artists. Yeah. We've also had Aunt Linda from Aunt Linda's Country Tailgate up in Sudbury. She's been a massive supporter. I've been up there. I've done radio with her. It's college campus, but it's wonderful. They've had me on steady rotation there as well. And then also Rocket Up Radio, Mississauga campus, University of Toronto Campus College with Darren Flower. He's been a massive supporter of me too. And he's had me out on radio, and they've, you know, so little by little, and some of the also campus, McMaster campus, and also some different ones.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
I got listed on CBC, but I actually didn't get a spin. And I know that's really quite hard to do as well, but.
Probably keep knocking on doors and keep trying the best you can.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. So I see there's a few more songs we'd like to feature from your current album. Rearview is one of them. Do you want to talk about Rearview?
Yeah, I mean, Rearview is, I wrote it during this recording process. Some songs I came in and they were pre-recorded, and others I wrote while we were recording, like in booking studio time. And this was one of them. It came to me really fast, just sat at the piano one day, and I was just, you know, picking away at different things. And it literally came to me in like 5 minutes.
Started. Oh, wow. Okay.
And that song is just about me growing as an artist, growing as a human, and kind of looking back at my journey through a rear view. Like, I don't want to ever lose sight of that girl, because that's how I got here. But I want to look forward rather than looking through the rear view, but not forget, you know, catch a glance of myself every once in a while, take note of the progress and of the journey ahead.
Moving on.
Under the Weight is another one of your songs off your album.
Yeah, that was slotted to be the next one that I put out in the fall, and I really wanted to put a really, I invest in that one, you know. That's actually going to be when I go back to Factor and ask for funding, it's going to be to release this next single and do a video that does the song justice. I love that song. It's about never giving up. It's about always having that spirit of wanting to pick up the weight and carry it. And because anytime you do anything, whether it's investing in a relationship, investing in your job, caring for your home or your relationships with your family and friends, there's an element of responsibility and weight that goes with that. And it's a deep song.
We picked up right where we left, like time had been put on a shelf, and your love, crowns and crucifies me. You'd rather be by yourself, that don't make it hurt any less, and your love continues to deny me. I'm no stranger to heartbreak, 'cause under pressure diamonds are made.
Are you a big reader? Do you read a lot of novels? And it seems like you're kind of a deep thinker.
I struggle with reading books because I like when I do have spare time, and I don't have a television, and I try to limit my time on the internet. So when I do have spare time, I try to write or spend time just doodling on my piano or my guitar. But I'll pick up a book from time to time. I just struggle getting through it. But I'll tell you, when I do read books, they're usually either crazy science fiction or an autobiography of someone or a biography of someone that I really admire. It doesn't have to be a musician. Although I've been trying to struggle through Keith Richards' life.
His autobiography. Really? Okay.
That's the latest one that I'm trying to get through. And Justin Koop gave it to me to lend. He lent it to me during our production of Mint Green Mercury. And I told him, I said, thank you for the lend. I don't know what year I'll give it back to you, but I promise I'll get through it and it'll become yours again.
Okay. I wouldn't actually mind reading that. I'm a big Stones. I've been a Stones fan since I was late teens. So
I'll tell you a funny story. This was like Fraser and I, my first radio producer, or a music producer, and still my lifelong friend and mentor. We always had a battle because I'm a big Beatles fan and he's a big, massive Rolling Stones fan. So that was always like our studio dichotomy. I was like, no, it needs to be more like the Beatles production. He's like, no, we're just going to get it all dirty and chainy and grungy like what the Stones would do.
Yeah, same with...
But I do secretly love them equally.
Oh, for sure. That's great. Good for you. Wannabe, that's another song off your album. Have you released this to radio already, Wannabe, or...?
Yeah, it's currently out there right now. So it's streaming on all of the streaming sites. And I released it on June, as I said, middle of June. I want to say June 15th.
Really current.
I didn't put a lot of money in promo around this one. It's because, as I said, with COVID right now, like when I release a single, there's an entire promo strategy that goes behind that. So it's not just about getting the visual and the graphics, dropping it into the streaming sites. It's then super promoting, like getting out there, trying to get out and play live, trying to get radio to have me on so that I can talk about the single, buying some promo and trying to get, you know, lots of hits on the video. Right now I'm feeling like don't really know how to do that because the world is changing rapidly and the situation is fluid all the time. So I knew that I needed to put music out. The last time I put a single out was in February when I put out the ballad, Whenever You Come Around. Yep. But I thought, this is a lighthearted song. It's going to give me something positive to do for the summer. And right now, it's not rotating on radio. So if you play it on the station, then that'll be the first radio play I get.
Oh, okay.
Bonus.
Well, we'll hear it on this actual episode. And then it's already uploaded to the station. So it could be already be played at this point. So
that's fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
That's the best thing you can tell an artist.
Okay. Well, you're definitely on the rotation. There's certain hours that are Canadian content and certain things that you would definitely be flagged for that. So
that's brilliant. Thank you.
Now tell me about the car. So on your Mint Green Mercury album, you actually have a Mint Green Mercury picture. Now, is that an old picture from the 70s maybe? Or?
Yep, that's my dad's car. Oh. That was our original family Mercury. So when we immigrated to Canada, my parents, but my dad in particular, fell in love with all things Americana. And that means music, obviously. But then he went out and he bought this big old Mercury Cougar, of course, green, mint green. Yeah. And with these like plush velvet dark green seats inside. Yeah. I still remember those little big old bucket seats with an 8-track. Yeah. And that was his pride and joy. And some of the early memories of me just being new to Canada and really enjoying my dad and his youth, and was just riding around in his car and then listening to really cool music, which then influenced the music that I love and the music that I record and create.
Yeah.
So when I was looking for what to put on the front of this album, because I came up with the name about 3/4 of the way through the recording process. Till then, the album was just called Anonymous.
Yeah, okay.
And when I decided it was going to be called Mint Green Mercury, I went home to my mom's in Brantford and pulled out a big box of pictures. And I sat there with my brothers and my niece, and I was like, everybody grab a stack, because I know somewhere in this box there's a picture of that car.
Okay.
And we finally found 4 of them. And I shot them, like I took some screenshots of them and sent them to Janine. And I said, can you work with this? Because prior to that, I was going to buy some stock art. But there's this licensing issue that we came across, because it's an actual car that's licensed to Ford.
Yeah.
I think it's Ford. Yeah.
Mercury. Yeah. Yes. Ford.
Yeah. So we were going to get into some licensing issues if we put a Ford on the front of the car, a Mercury. So she said the best way around that, and I think the most authentic way, is if you can find me an old photograph. And she did a brilliant job.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was the house that we moved into in Brantford when I first immigrated to Canada on Mary Street. And that's the car.
That's great. And the rest of your artwork done, I think it's Andrea Hunter?
Andrea Hunter, she's a brilliant photographer.
You've got an old picture from the 70s that's sort of almost a yellowed, you know, almost like an old photograph, really. But the rest of your photography sort of blends in with that same picture, which I think is really cool.
Well, when you work with good people, you get great results.
It's nice. It's because it's got a sort of a common theme, even though you have a really old picture, plus, you know, yourself in a, looks like a hayfield or out in the country.
Yeah. Well, this album is really, it's all about nostalgia. It's all about my life story. And it's got a bit of a relic feel to it, and musically too. When I went into the studio, I wanted it to sound like a really full and rich 70s sound, so it all encompasses. I think there was a theme here and I stuck to it and I didn't stray from it. Everybody got the concept that joined in and everybody was on board. They got exactly what I was trying to accomplish, and I think that the results show that.
I love it.
Let's have a listen to Fade Away. It's one of the tracks on Mint Green Mercury. You can find it on YouTube, and I looked it up on TamaraMadeline.com.
Cobwebs, steam.
chip from the setting sun. One more kiss and the damage done, and they fade away.
So you have one last song that you wanted to feature from Mint Green Mercury, and it's called Whenever You Come Around. I think you mentioned it really briefly earlier in this interview. It's a ballad, I guess. Want to talk about that one?
Yeah, that's the only ballad on the record, and it's also one that I went in and we just did one vocal cut and got it on the first try, which was really, really great.
Yeah.
And I also that one came together really quickly. I was just picking away with my classical guitar because I've been trying to become a better picker as well. Like I'm a rhythm guitar player. I don't play any leads, but in order to expand my skill set, I've been picking a lot more. So that was one that was really nice and had this sort of like Blackbird Beatlesque influence.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm pretty proud of that song. It's if we talk about the singles that were released in 2020, it came out in February. In the winter, which was, it's kind of a gloomy sort of song, somber song. And so we filmed it in November out on the pier here in Burlington. It was a snowy gray day. So the mood for the video fit the feeling of the melody. And and so it was perfect for winter. And then we started a great promo, of course, then in March when COVID happened, I couldn't continue doing, you know, the radio spots and stuff like that. So I took a little break, I regrouped, and then I contacted Janina. I said, what do you think about doing some promo and putting out a little visual for Wannabe and kind of lifting the mood a bit? So that's why I really wanted to talk about these two songs today, because they are the singles that I released in 2020. And that's Whenever You Come Around, but and now Wannabe in June.
Well, I'm really intrigued to listen to Whenever You Come Around. That sounds just the way you described it with the mood and the even the picking and everything. It sounds like it'll be a great song. So.
Yeah, it's cool, and I really like the production we put on it too.
Wow.
We got some rhythmic instruments, and yeah, it was great. It's great recording it.
Babe, you don't have to lie. It's right there in your eyes. I've known all along. You're right on my wrongs, and you're making me weep, robbing me of sleep, and you're taking me high. I could reach the sky, and I already know this is going down.
COVID-19, I know that's sort of put the brakes and everything, but have you done any little watch parties or any other sort of online live shows at all? Or
yeah, I did try to do that. I did one of the like Facebook Live events and it was fun, but yeah, it's not my thing. Like, I want to play live music live.
Yeah.
And so when the industry comes back and we're able to do that, then that's what I'll do. And in the interim, I will continue to do what I love to do best, which is write and craft more music, and then potentially get back into the studio if I can secure a bit of funding. And because I keep writing, like I have another 10, 15 songs already to go.
I have a friend and he's so animated. He needs the audience in front of him. So he feeds off the energy, and same with the crowd. The crowd just kind of keeps building and building. And to see him do a watch party with nobody there, it's totally different. Like he needs that audience interaction.
Me too.
That's kind of sounds like what you're saying too. It's really hard to do that, the watch party.
It's a magical thing. I can't even put it into words. I can't explain it. And it's not there when you're doing it on a Facebook live feed. And I got to be honest, I was a little bit discouraged because you know that as musicians, we've all lost our gigs and we've all lost a source of economic revenue. Yeah. So one of the things that I was disappointed is that I believe it was SOCAN. They said that they would be assisting under COVID artists that were doing live feeds. So, but then of course they put some qualifying criteria, which I thought was not helpful to the artist again. Just to demonstrate what we are up against as independent artists. So now they were saying you could qualify for $100, you know, to get paid for your work to perform live on Facebook, but you had to do a minimum 30 minutes of content and you had to guarantee that 100 people viewed. Well, it's no different than being booked in a club who they say, you know, you need 30 people to show up. Well, I can advertise like crazy, but if 30 people don't show up, that's out of my control.
I know exactly what you mean there. So. And I've done some where I've only had maybe 20 people watching me, but then maybe in the following 2 weeks, there's been 100 people, but they're all watching after the fact.
I can't guarantee it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I mean, I want to thank everyone who dialed in to listen today and everyone who's been supporting me on this musical journey. Everyone who's touched Mint Green Mercury, you folks there at the station for always supporting me, 102.7 CKMS. And I just want to thank everyone, because if I start actually itemizing and trying to think back, I will miss. And so basically all of those who have assisted me up to this point and anyone who's going to be, you know, crossing my path, my musical path in the future, I just want to thank everyone for the constant support. I've had overwhelming encouragement all the way through, which has been amazing. And doors continue to open and more people get excited to be a part of this journey. So I just want to thank everybody.
That's great. You're inspiring to me too, because just like you've stuck with this for so many years and now you're getting this great recognition through the different Canadian musical organizations, whether it's SOCAN or Factor or the Junos, all that stuff. So that's, it just seems like everything's coming together. You got a great network of musicians and photographers, videographers, the studios. Sounds like you have everything kind of in place. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with you over the next couple of years.
It's a community of people. And so if Mint Green Mercury keeps going, that's a testament to every single person who got behind that. And it's not about me. It's about everyone that's on this, that's touched this, that's promoted this, including you guys. Like, and it's a magical thing. I get overwhelmed sometimes when I think about it. I have pinch me moments constantly, but that's the power of art. That's the power of music, which is what I always wanted out of this. If I go back and I look at the goals that I had set for myself, I said, I want to make a contribution to the Canadian musical landscape in some capacity. And this was my calling card to the industry. And so far it's been a wonderful ride.
Well, excellent. Yeah. Thanks a lot for sitting through the interview. You know, it's taken, 10 months probably since we first talked to you, but I'm glad we got you on the show.
It's worth the wait.
And we're spinning the tunes, and I look forward to anything else in the future that you're going to have coming out.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So thank you so much. I'm going to plug you guys one more time. So I want to give a big shout out to everyone at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo for supporting me, supporting Mint Green Mercury and the musical artistic community that helped me get.
Awesome. Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Good years, strip them of their glories. Looking back, what's left? Only
the crushing fear. I'm just telling stories. A shift is in effect while I'm settling.
Madeline here, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo. Thanks for tuning in.